Welcome to the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge's radio show, AC23. The mission of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge is to foster the creative capacity in the Capital Region through advocacy, resources, teaching, and training. Over the next 23 minutes, you'll hear from staff members, artists, and arts organizations throughout our region. If you'd like to hear this episode again, you can find it online at www.artsbr.org.
All right. I would like to welcome our listeners to another session of AC23. This is a podcast series put on here by the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. And today I have a wonderful guest. She's become a good friend of mine over the past, I don't know.
What 5 years, I think.
Probably 5 years.
Just about. 4.5.
And I know her, our professional careers as they work together has been mainly, I've known her as a vocalist, amazing vocalist, who, remind me, Vicky, let me say the name first. I have Victoria Cave.
That's me.
With me today.
Last
Thank you,
I
Vicky,
checked.
For being here. I'm going to call her Vicky from this point on.
And I'm going to call this AC23 Mike and Me.
Mike and Me. I like
Can
that.
I
Sounds like
that?
A TV show.
It kind of does.
Yeah. I dig it. Vicky, where are you originally from?
I am originally from New Orleans.
Okay.
Born at Touro Infirmary.
Okay.
As it was once called. Yeah. Not sure it's still called that, but it still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Las Vegas. My dad was a musician, bass player.
He was a bass player, yes.
Yep. Yeah. Played at the Playboy Club in New Orleans. My mom was a bunny. They met.
We're going to have to go down a rabbit hole in a minute.
I want you to school me.
I didn't mean to do that, but it just happened. I'm going to ask you about people that your dad played with, but keep going.
Oh, well, anyway. So they met, and thus I was born. And then there was a lot of work for musicians in Las Vegas. So we moved, and I was raised really in Las Vegas.
Okay. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm learning. Gotcha.
Lots of musicians, dancers, yeah. artists at the time, because there were showrooms ready to be filled with people who did all those things.
So your life has always been around the arts?
Always. Right? Yeah. Wow. My mother was a ballroom dancer before she was a bunny.
Yeah.
And still.
Right. Well, and we're going to certainly be talking about dance because our main initiative here is to talk about a project that you're doing here at the Arts Council.
Yes.
Called Red Stick Dance Project.
Yes.
Well, let's start there.
Okay.
So tell me about that, what you've been up to and what the goal is and just the experience of doing it.
Well, Red Stick Dance Project was born because, many, many reasons over the last, I was a dancer first.
Okay.
As soon as I could walk, I put my mother's ballroom dancing skirts on up to my armpits and danced around the living room and forced my parents to watch me.
Okay.
So that was my first love, and it has remained nearest and dearest, although I made a long career of music as well, which is great. They go together.
Sure.
Music and dancing go together.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I moved to Baton Rouge, I found an amazing musical community pretty much right away, which was just a lifesaver and incredible, and my dearest friends to this day. And as I have spent more time here, which has been just about 5 years,
right.
I really started missing dancing and really realized how sedentary I had become.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I spent the last 30 years in New York City,
yes.
where I walked everywhere, climbed subway stairs, and went to a dance class 3 times a week, minimum. So then I move here, I'm behind the wheel, mm-hmm. I'm eating canes.
Crack chicken, as I call it. Yeah.
So anyway, which has been wonderful. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. But I was really missing an adult dance class.
Right.
And I couldn't really find one beyond ballet.
Sure.
So instead of complaining about it, I thought, you know what? Why not create one?
Mm-hmm.
And it is modeled after a class that I really enjoyed in New York, taught by my friend Abby Goldenberg, called New York City Dance Project. And in that class, I met people from all walks of life, all different career paths, CFOs, startups, nonprofit leaders, people who designed cosmetic packaging, school teacher, elementary school teacher,
sure.
Just every different superintendent. Anybody.
Everybody wants to move.
Who just found everybody wants to dance.
Right.
And everybody from the completely untrained dancer to people who had been former ballerinas completely let it all hang out right. in this class 3 times a week. And to this day, these are the people that I miss the most in New York. Mm-hmm. It is the single most missed thing about my life there.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was such a community thing that evolved.
Never missed it. None of us missed class. We were there Monday, Wednesday, Saturday without fail.
So the dance part of it was the part that bonded, brought you together. But
yes.
Then, of course, it goes beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes beyond that because when you're dancing, you are showing a part of yourself that you are not showing to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. When you're walking to work or you're getting out of your car and you're heading in, no one has any idea that right. you're going to a dance class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. And you're being completely, I don't want to use the word vulnerable, but I would say more courageous. Mm-hmm. It's a courageous act
right.
to go in, get warmed up, and then the music comes on and you are learning choreography, mm-hmm. doing it to the best of your ability. And giving it your own flair, your own interpretation. And it's really something to see other people do that and to do that in front of other people.
Right, right. It's funny because, you know, as a musician, and you know this because you're a mm-hmm. musician as well, I've always felt like when you're a performer, you expose a part of yourself that... Vulnerability might be the right word in some instances mm-hmm. where, you know, but because you're doing that and you're offering that part of yourself with other people, mm-hmm. I'm thinking of playing music with other people on stage,
right.
you form a bond that's, for many of my musician friends, has been lifelong.
It's, you know, and it's like
it's
no
a
other.
It's a special kind of bond.
It really is.
Right.
It is really like no other.
Yeah.
And that feeling you get when... you're either dance playing with a group, mm-hmm. right? One thing to practice by yourself, and that's great. Mm-hmm. There's another thing when you're doing it together. And the same thing happens when you're dancing. You know, when you're dancing alone in your kitchen, that's great, wonderful.
Sure.
When you're singing in the shower, in the car, that's great, wonderful. Mm-hmm. When you get into a room with other dancers and the music comes on and you have learned choreography together.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're all moving pretty much in sync in the room to the music. And then one person might do a little something different. And you pick up on that and you're like, ooh, mm-hmm. I'm gonna do that thing.
Right.
Too.
So creativity kind of
Yeah, or
in.
I'm yeah. gonna do something that kind of works with that mm-hmm. thing that they just did. It's
right.
a real communication, and your brain is on fire.
Right.
You know, you're firing synapses that don't usually mm-hmm. get stimulated.
Right.
In a unique way.
Yeah.
Just like music.
Well, so this is a new venture as far as here at the Arts Council. So how many sessions have you done at this point?
I think I've done 4 sessions so far.
Okay.
And it goes all the way till September 6th.
Okay.
And it's Saturdays at 10 a.m. Saturdays at 10 a.m. every
Saturday.
Say
it one more time.
Saturdays for the back of the room, 10 a.m.
And it's an hour session?
Well, it's an hour, but we've been going an hour 15.
Okay.
Oops, don't tell the Arts Council.
We're good with that.
Because no one wants to leave.
That's a great thing.
Which is exactly what I wanted to happen. So
The
beautiful thing about... the class I was enjoying in New York was not only the class, mm-hmm. but then the lingering afterward.
Right.
And the, who wants to do it one more time? Whoever wants to stay mm-hmm. and do it one more time
right.
can stay.
Yeah.
You know, and in so far, everybody has wanted to stay. So that's great.
That's wonderful.
And then once we've danced, it's the lingering to chat afterwards. And then it's the slow walk to your car. still chatting. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll grow to, and then where are we going to go get a coffee? Right. You know?
Yeah. Where's lunch?
So, and it's new people meeting each other and introducing and feeling welcome. And so far that's what's been happening. So that's the goal, because community.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it is a great thing to be active, to use your body, mm-hmm. to do a thing, to music, which inherently has sort of a physical, emotional benefit.
Yes.
Not sort of, definitely. And that sense of making new friends, and they're your dance friends, you know, they're your music friends.
I hear you. No, you're preaching to the choir, although I don't dance and I should start.
Come on. Come on, Mike. There's a spot for you.
Keep pushing me. but I know what you mean. It's good for the soul.
It really is. And I wanted to mention, I wanted to be sure to mention, if we have time, that, you know, the arts are what make life worth living. You know, we need infrastructure. We need the things. We need our societal constructs mm-hmm. that we have
right.
to keep us going, to keep us safe, healthy, alive. But with art, without having some sort of creative thing, whatever, if we enjoy it visually, if we enjoy it audibly, mm-hmm. if we enjoy moving, that's the stuff that makes it worthwhile. And I know that in my very dark times, mm-hmm. and we all have them, life is without them,
sure.
I have consciously said, thank God. Thank God I have music.
Absolutely.
Thank God I have dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, what would I do? Honestly. So I want to make that available. Even if it's just once a week.
Right.
You know, if you can't, if you've got 1 hour a week, you know, to come kind of recharge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, reconnect with your body and get back to the garden. In the words of Joni Mitchell.
That's one of my favorites mm-hmm. there, Joni Mitchell. I couldn't agree more, though. I think, and unfortunately, it's easy for people to take the arts for granted sometimes, mm-hmm. I think. Some people, or a lot of times people forget how they're surrounded by the arts all the time and maybe not even realize it. You know, like when you're riding in the car and you listen to the radio, that's the arts.
Yep.
When you're, watching a movie, all the arts that are involved in a movie, you know, from set design to music score to cinematography.
Right.
I mean, there's so much art around us all the time.
Right.
So it's good. I'm doing a little spiel now of support the arts.
Yes.
You know, come out and support all the arts. But in this case, come do some dancing.
Yes, and come to the Arts Council to do it, because you walk in the door and you've got visual art.
There's a vibe.
Right away. It's a vibe. The whole building.
Yep.
You pull up to the building itself is a vibe mm-hmm. and artistic and gorgeous.
It's a triangle building.
It's architectural
cool
art.
Yeah. Right.
There's a grand piano sitting at the tip of the triangle.
Yeah,
there's
right.
a gallery with an ever-changing installation. Mm-hmm. There's art being made as you walk in the door.
Yes,
there's
indeed.
Someone painting or constructing. Yeah. And then there's recording arts happening here in this room where we're recording right here with state-of-the-art equipment. A gorgeous room to dance in with lighting yes. and sound.
Yep.
I mean, it's just a full immersive experience here. It's a
Amen
fabulous thing.
Yeah. So, like, with the class itself, I'm just curious, is there, like, how do you prepare for it? Like, is there an agenda that you have in mind as far as certain moves that the dancers are going to do? Or, like,
I do.
Take me into that world, because I don't understand.
I do. My initial prep for this class has been in the sage advice of my, I would say, mentor, Abby. Mm-hmm. Keep it fun and sexy. So in the beginning, these first few classes have been easy, fun and sexy, she said. And that's what we've been doing. But as I think about this long term, mm-hmm. I think about us exploring very tip of the iceberg, different kinds of dancing that fall under the sort of larger jazz dancing umbrella. So right now we're doing kind of a almost theater fosse kind of a jazz style. He was a choreographer that was very, very famous, especially in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Minimal movement, but very specific. Mm-hmm. And then we'll probably do more street jazz. We'll do lyrical, contemporary kind of movement. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little hip hop.
Right.
And just explore different styles. Theater jazz for sure. Probably maybe teach a number from one of the shows that I've done on Broadway.
Yeah.
There's me promoting myself.
Well, okay, but, and you won't do enough of that, so I'm going to make you do it. So tell the listeners a little bit about, like you mentioned that you were in New York for, what, just 30 years?
30 years.
And I know some of the highlights of your musical career, but let's put it in terms of dance. Mm-hmm. Like what were some of the things you were doing dance-wise in New York?
Yeah, well, I was a dance captain and chorus member and understudy for several Broadway shows.
Yeah.
So I got my start doing The Who's Tommy, choreographed by Wayne Cilento, who's a Tony Award-winning choreographer. Fabulous. Really great choreography in that. I was a dancer in The Boy from Oz, Cabaret, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, starring Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid. Yeah. And
You hung out with the Karate Kid?
I did. Mm-hmm. We played laser tag. He's a great guy.
Get out of town.
And then I did The Boy from Oz with Hugh Jackman.
Oh, wow.
Who I got to kiss nightly. What?
Man. Yeah.
How many shows? That means I kissed Hugh Jackman over 300 times, probably.
Shoot.
But that's not the highlight. The highlight was the dancing. The dancing was the highlight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So worked with a lot of really great choreographers over the years and then did off-Broadway and stuff. But those are just the Broadway credits.
That's pretty amazing.
So a variety of styles for all of those shows.
Wow. And then I'm going to hop over to the music side. So also tell the listeners about, you're a wonderful vocalist.
Thank you, Mike.
I've had the pleasure of working with you on several occasions now, and it's always a thrill.
But likewise. Trust me.
I appreciate that.
Really.
So when you're up in New York, though, I know, look, so Steely Dan was on your resume. Mm-hmm. You toured with them for
no,
how
I just
long?
Put it on my resume.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did have the distinct pleasure of just by some sort of stars aligning to tour with them for a year, which was amazing.
Wow.
And then I also, you know, so I was doing musical theater, so I was singing in these musicals.
Right, right.
And now I sing here in Baton Rouge with you and with the band Fat Hat and other pickup gigs here and there.
So I know that you love to sing. One of the types of music that you love to sing is jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And as we mentioned when we first started, that your dad was a bass player, primarily playing in the jazz genre, correct?
Yep.
So I'm imagining you grew up in a situation, environment, where you're hearing all of these amazing jazz standards, just like, it's just in your orbit all the time, right?
Yes.
What a gift.
Yeah. Oh, it was, if I didn't become an artist, I don't know how that could have possibly happened. I had a natural inclination, but I was certainly encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the second I expressed interest, I was absolutely surrounded by it.
Right.
And also visual art. You know, they were collectors of art in the house, and my mother always was dancing with me, teaching me the waltz and foxtrot and rumba and everything. And my father could not dance a lick, so I was the partner. But yes, there was always music playing, always musicians. My dad was in a band called the Soul Patrol when we moved to Las Vegas.
Okay.
And they had rehearsals at the house, which I loved.
Right.
We had a Fender Rhodes in the house and a grand piano. And at a certain point, we had a Wurlitzer. And, you know, it was just always, and my dad had to learn electric bass. That was a thing.
Because he was primarily an upright bass player.
He was an oboist, actually.
Wow.
He was first chair oboist with the Pittsburgh Symphony, and then he tried to be a jazz oboist.
Yeah.
It didn't really work well.
You don't hear a lot about jazz oboe.
You don't hear a lot about it.
Yeah.
And he got to a gig with his oboe, and the bass player didn't show up. So they said, Jay, you're playing the bass tonight.
So he started as an adult to play bass.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, so I think he was in Ohio at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he toured as a duo with Nina Simone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting because, you know, I've followed her. I love Nina Simone.
Me too.
I was watching a documentary about her, and in the documentary, some of the testimonials are from one of the bass players that played with her. But what's fascinating about her, she was almost like an Errol Garner type, where like her sidemen never quite knew what they were going to get night to night.
Correct.
Because she would just change keys all of a sudden within a song. And
exactly what I was going to say.
That would be so stressful. I'm thinking of it from a piano player standpoint. It takes a high caliber musician to be able to hang with somebody like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that though.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was with Nina.
I guess my father told me a story. My father and I took an Amtrak from New York City to Altoona, Pennsylvania for his 60th high school reunion. Hmm. That's really not relevant. But on this trip, he said that they made this circuit often, this particular train.
Sure.
They rode a lot.
Oh, really?
And they would walk the aisles of the train. He was 5'7" and she was this statuesque woman. And they would walk the aisles, I guess, just to see who would stare at them.
Really?
And he did mention her penchant for, you know, playing in bizarre keys. And he would say, you know, Nina, no one else knows.
Wow.
But he played with all kinds of people. Fats Domino and...
Because he was in New Orleans for a while.
He was in New Orleans.
So was he also with Al Hurt?
He was with Al Hurt. Al Hurt paid for my birth, apparently.
Oh, really? Vicky, before we wrap it up, again, I want to thank you for being a guest.
Thank you for having me.
On AC23. And please tell the listeners once again what the project is and why they should come out.
Red Stick Dance Project is an open level adults 18 and older dance class happening at the Arts Council of Baton Rouge, Carrie Soraj Community Arts Center.
That's a mouthful, but you got it.
I love it. In downtown Baton Rouge, parking in the back on Saturdays at 10 a.m. 1 hour class, usually goes about 75 minutes because we love it so much. We can't leave. It's dancing. It's moving to music. It's choreography, learning a routine. And it's building community with like-minded lovers of dance.
What else do you need, people? Come on.
It's so much fun.
Come on. Well, Vicky, thanks again, and wishing you all the best.
Thank you, Mike. You too.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to hear this episode again, you can find it on our website, artsbr.org, and click on AC23. We'll see you next time.